wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, I pray that somehow as I speak today that you might speak through me. God, that you would give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning, that you might open our minds to understanding. As we're looking at this movie today, God, that you would help us find the message that inspires us to live more like Christ, to go out into the world, to be courageous. So in that, God, I pray that you will transform us today. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be so evident and that I would get out of the way so that you can do what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we finished that series on Ruth. If you weren't here for that, I want to encourage you, go back and watch that. Read the book of Ruth. I think it was a really good way to dive into the concepts of loyalty and redemption that God brings in that story and that we sense in that story. And today, we start a new series called Real Reflections. In the summer, we have a tendency to do a series. We've gone back and forth the last few years, either on movies or on Broadway. And you might say, why do we keep doing that? Well, number one, people love those series. And that's really helpful. But number two, my goal and my desire is that you will be able to sense God in everything. That you will look for the ways that God is speaking to you in many different situations, in many different contexts, that you might be watching a movie or listening to a song or having a conversation with a friend, and you might say, oh, I see the message that Christ has for me in this moment. My other desire is that you might invite other people to experience this as well. When people sense that there is a way for them to connect in a real way in real things, they want to show up. So I hope that you will do that. I hope that you will sense that in this series, and I hope that God will speak to you. And again, that I'll get out of the way as God does that. It's also Father's Day. And Father's Day is one of those days where we as the church definitively celebrate. We celebrate those who are dads, those who have been dads in your life, those who have served as mentors, and that sort of thing. And we live in the tension that today is hard for some people. It's hard for some because they've lost their dad, either recently or a long time ago, and it's still really hard because when this day and this memory comes up, you want to celebrate the one who is in that role in your life. For some people, it's hard because you didn't have a great relationship with your dad. You didn't know your dad, and that makes Father's Day really hard. And for some, it's hard because you wanted to be a father, and you weren't able to be a father for one reason or another. So we live in that tension today, and I'm really comfortable living in that tension. We can both grieve and celebrate together, and neither one of those things negates the other. So I just want to name that and put that out here. As we are in Father's Day and as we're looking at a movie today, I'm going to talk about the concept, as Susan mentioned, of courage. And I was really thinking about this the last week. We've got a kid. In case you haven't been here recently, my kid's graduating high school. I feel like it's all I talk about these days, right? He's leaving 2 months from today. Not that I'm sadly counting down the days. But in 2 months from today, we will pack up and drive to North Carolina, and I'm going to leave him there. I'm going to leave him there. Like my kid, who I've been, I'm going to leave, but that's okay. I'm still working through that. But I will never forget for as long as I live. He was in the NICU for a day or two, neonatal intensive care unit. And then they did the car seat test with him. I don't know if anybody knows that. They put you on this thing. It's like a washing machine or something. It's probably a real machine, but it's something to see if they, and then they looked at Susan and I. I mean, we were so young, y'all. I know, you're not surprised. We were so young. But they looked at us and they said, okay, you can take him home. And I was like, what? They're like, he's yours. You have to take him home. Your insurance no longer lets him stay here. And we were like, but what about at night? Like when you had all those monitors and things. And they're like, yeah, that's your responsibility. And I thought in that moment when they told us, take your child home, I thought that was gonna be the most courageous thing I ever did as a parent. Y'all, that was nothing compared to the rest. In all seriousness, the people who walk through life with a child, whether you're their dad, their mom, their grandparent, whether you're a neighbor, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, whether you're a mentor, whoever does that, it is courageous to do that. There is deep courage in trying to help somebody live a life that makes the world better, that makes society better, and that keeps them safe as they do it and they step out. So that's a big piece of courage as we talk about it on Father's Day. I want to look today through the lens of a new Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And I don't know if you're a big fan of the whole Spider-Man franchise. I think Spider-Man's my favorite superhero. I love it when kids think they're Spider-Man and they're just like going around like this, shooting webs places. And this movie is a really fascinating take on the whole Spider-Man concept. It actually doesn't start off with Spider-Man. It starts off with Spider-Woman, Gwen Stacy. And Gwen Stacy has a problem. Gwen Stacy's father, George, is hunting her. And he's hunting her and he's out to get her because he thinks that Gwen took out Peter Parker, the OG Spider-Man. He thinks that Gwen did that. So he's chasing after her and he's going after her. She didn't do that. It was an accident. Things happen. But he's going after her. He's going after her. And she's in a multiverse. She's on an Earth somewhere far, far away. And she ends up finding her way into another Earth through the multiverse as Spider-Woman, trying to live her life and trying to do the thing that she's supposed to do as Spider-Woman. Now, Earth 1610, we find a new character. His name is Miles Morales. He's a teenager. Miles was bit by a spider. That's how you become Spider-Man, in case you're wondering. Miles was bit by a spider, and he has a problem. His problem is he wants to do the right things and he wants to live into this thing of being Spider-Man, but he's also a teenager and he wants to be a teenager. Like, he just wants to be a kid. Have you ever seen a teenager that lives in that tension? Like, I'm an adult and a child. Like, I want my parents' money, but I don't want them to tell me what to do. I want freedom, but I also want the backfall to hold me. And that's where Miles is in this story. That's where he is in his life. And he's got issue after issue after issue because the multiverse opens up because of a situation with this thing called The Spot. And all of a sudden, Gwen and Miles meet. Now, there's a little bit of attraction there in this cartoon movie. And Miles has to figure out how you navigate that, how you navigate life, and how you navigate being Spider-Man. And he deals with all of those challenges. He has to have great courage as he steps out to do extraordinary things outside of his comfort zone. Now, I don't want to ruin this because I'm sure all of you are going to go home today on Father's Day and watch this movie. I hope you do. But I want you to know that he has this great mission, this great calling, this great thing that he has to do, and he feels incredibly inadequate to do it. He feels incredibly inadequate to step out into the world and do this thing. I want to tell you about another character who is called to a great mission that feels incredibly inadequate. His name is Joshua. There's a book written about his life in the Bible. Joshua has this challenge. The Hebrews, or the Israelites, have left Egypt. Moses led them out of Egypt. They went through the big water, the Red Sea, and they get out on the other side, and for 40 years, they wander. For 40 years, they go through the wilderness and they complain and God shifts things and gives them different things. And they get to the point where they're about to go into the promised land. The land that God has said they can go to, and it's not the wilderness. In this land, milk and honey flows. In this land, it's good stuff. And Moses has led them. And Moses has led them well through some really tough times. But Moses' life is about to end. I remember I had an opportunity a few years ago to go to Jordan, and I stood on Mount Nebo, which is the mountain that Moses last stood on as he looked over into the promised land. And I thought, how hard must that have been for him to go all the way with these people for 40 years and not be able to go into the promised land? But Moses has died, and Joshua is called to lead them. I want you to see this passage in the beginning of Joshua, chapter 1, 1 to 9. It says, after Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord spoke to Joshua, Nun's son. He had been Moses' helper. My servant Moses is dead. Now get ready to cross over the Jordan with this entire people to the land that I'm going to give to the Israelites. I'm giving you every place where you set foot, exactly as I promised Moses. Your territory will stretch from the desert and the Lebanon as far as the great Euphrates River, including all Hittite land up to the Mediterranean Sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you during your lifetime. I will be with you in the same way that I was with Moses. I won't desert you or leave you. Be brave and strong, because you're the one who will help this people take possession of the land, which I pledged to give to their ancestors. Be very brave and strong. That's the second time, by the way, as you carefully obey all of the instruction that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't deviate even a bit from it, either to the right or left. Then you will have success wherever you go. Never stop speaking about this instruction scroll. Recite it day and night so you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you will accomplish your objectives and you will succeed. I've commanded you to be brave and strong, haven't I? Don't be alarmed or terrified because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Think about this moment. Think about this moment where Joshua gets this call. I mean, for 40 years they've wandered. For 40 years they've gone. For 40 years Moses has been in charge. He's the boss boss. And he's been the boss boss the whole time. And Joshua was just there to help him. And all of a sudden God comes to Joshua and he says, I want you to be the boss boss. And Joshua goes, huh? No. That's Moses. That's not my job. I mean, look at the passage again in the beginning. It says, after Moses, the Lord's servant died, the Lord spoke to Joshua, Nun's son. I mean, God literally comes down and sits beside Joshua. He had been Moses' helper. My servant Moses is dead. Now get ready. I like that. Now get ready to cross over the Jordan with this entire people to the land that I'm going to give to the Israelites. I am giving you every place where you set foot exactly as I promised Moses. I'm giving it all to you. Now, I want you to hear that context, to sit in that for a moment. It's almost like the moment they handed me our son. Oh, and then by the way, 2 years later, they handed us two more babies. If we thought the first was hard, well, the other two are in here, so I just want you to know you were hard too. But it's like that moment where everything is handed over to Joshua. And the Lord says, you got this. Now go and do it. I'm giving you all of these people to lead, all of these people to go into this land, all of these people in a land which is unknown to you, where there are people who don't want you to have that land. I'm giving it to you and I want you to go. Joshua thought the shoes were way too big for him. How in the world can I step into those shoes that Moses filled? Miles in the movie, Spider-Man, has the same problem. See, at the beginning of the film, he's trying to do that balance, as I told you, of being a teenager and being Spider-Man. He's trying to figure out how to be normal when a spider bit him and changed his life. He's trying to find his footing, and there are spider people all over the place that are trying to tell him the right way to do it. You gotta do it this way. If you don't do it this way, it doesn't count. If you don't do it this way, you're not right. If you don't do it this way, and he senses that he's supposed to do it a different way, that he's supposed to do it a different way because that's going to balance things. That's going to make things go better. He also senses that the task is too big for him. You ever been there? You ever received a call or a job or something that you said, no, God. No, boss. This is too much for me. Where somebody's come into you, and maybe it's when you had children, maybe that was the moment. Or maybe it was when you get a job, or maybe it's when somebody moved in your neighborhood that everybody else didn't like, or maybe it was, I'll just keep going. But you had that moment where you sensed, I'm supposed to do something, and you said, oh no, not me. I can't do that, it's too big. I feel like I'm inadequate, I can't do it. And just like Miles gets the message, just like Joshua gets the message that comes this morning to you and to them is be strong and courageous. Easier said than done, isn't it? Just be strong. Be courageous. Be courageous when the rest of the world thinks that you are doing something you shouldn't do. Be courageous when you're stepping outside of the norm. Be courageous when you're loving people that other people don't love. Be courageous when you're standing up for things that are right. Be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. Now, here's the great thing about God. God doesn't just drop the bomb, be courageous, and say, now move on. Good luck. God is a God of promise. God is a God of hope. God is a God of partnership. God is a God of walking with you. Look at what it says in verse 5 and 6. No one will be able to stand up against you during your lifetime. I will what? Be with you. I will be with you in the same way I was with Moses. I won't desert you or leave you. Be brave and strong because you're the one that will help the people take possession of the land, which I pledge to give their ancestors. Joshua gets a promise from God. You don't have to do this alone. The promise that he gets is that God will be with you. Y'all, that's the message God wants to say to you today. If we live in a world where God is up in heaven somewhere far, far away, and someday we'll meet God on the long, long journey that we're on, then we will not sense that God is with us right now as we walk. God will be with you. That's the message. God will be with you on the journey. God will be with you when you're called to be strong and courageous. God will be with you as you walk. But make no mistake, the thing that Joshua needed was that relationship with God so that Joshua could believe it. Friends, in order for us to believe that God will be with us, we need to have a relationship with God. That's not like a condition or a precursor to God's love. Remember we did this baptism of this baby this morning? I didn't say Harvey had to have it all figured out. I said, no, God already loves him. It's not a condition for love, but it is a condition for believing that God is with you. To know God is to believe that God will walk with you. To know God is to believe that you are not alone. To know God is to believe it when God says, I am with you. In the Spider-Verse, across the Spider-Verse movie, there's this concept that comes up, Miles comes to learn. They're called canon events. These are those pivotal moments, those big events that can sometimes have hardship, those big events that are purposeful, those big events that are important, those big moments when things could shift, the world could shift, the Spider-Verse, multiverse could shift, and you have to make a decision. And as I said, there are rules for how he's supposed to do these things. And he has to make a decision. Do I follow the rules or do I live into what I think I'm called to do? Which may be a little different than the way the Spider-Verse says I'm supposed to do it. But if I do it this way, it has the capacity to change everything. This is where true courage, I think, in our lives is tested, y'all. We can either step into a zone where we fall in line and where we do the same thing we've always done, if it hasn't had impact or not, where we think, you don't say, my mom's old rule, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. And sometimes we take that and we think that means don't stand up. Sometimes we think that and we say, well, I don't have anything nice to say, so I can't say anything. Sometimes we are called to stand up for those who are marginalized in our society, y'all. Sometimes we are called to stand up and be courageous for those who are on the outside. Sometimes we are called to have that true courage that pushes us to face the giants and the walled cities around us like Joshua had to. The canon event might be in front of you right now. What are you gonna do? Because sometimes courage, friends, means having the courage to question, having the courage to challenge, and having the courage to forge a new path. I think about my own father, and I'm gonna get close to ending with this. My own dad, man, it's been so great to have him around the last few weeks. He's been at our house. That man can fix anything, and he has fixed everything. And I thought about my dad growing up, and I'm like, why do I love my dad so much? And then I started going back and I said, I don't remember a time when my dad asked me what my grades were. I don't remember a time when my dad asked me how I did on this or if I was the best athlete or if I did that. But you know what I do remember? I do remember my dad pushing me to true and genuine kindness in the world. I do remember my dad standing up for anybody around us and any neighbor and going to help anybody. I remember my dad being a helper. My dad is now, and I won't say how old he is older than he used to be. And my dad lives in a community of people who are older like him and some even older. And do you know, to this day, he will help out any person that needs it around him. That's what I learned from my dad. I learned from my dad the call to stand up for those who need it, to do those things for those who need it. Friends, God is not calling us to be complacent. Actually, if you read the Gospels, if you follow the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, complacency is not an option. It is not even possible. But to stand up for what Christ calls us to do, to stand up for what God cares about, to have the attitude of Christ means to stand up for the marginalized, the poor, the widow, the orphan, and all who are represented as outside of the majority. Anyone who needs it, we are called to do it. And God says, if you do it, you will not be alone. I will be with you. The worship team's gonna come up now, and they're gonna hone their inner Mariah Carey here for a moment. And they're gonna talk about, they're gonna sing a song called Hero. And as I heard these words when they did it at 9 o'clock, when Jillian sang it, she does such a beautiful job, I thought, we're called to be heroes, but not in the way the world says it. We're called to be heroes in the way God calls us to, which is to look for that courage within, to make a choice, to make a decision, to stand up, to speak out. There has not been a moment in my life, where I haven't had opportunities. I haven't had the opportunities to stand up and speak for someone else. When I was a child, there were kids who other kids bullied, and I had an opportunity to stand up for them. As I got older, there were folks who were marginalized on the outside of community, and I had a choice. Do I stand up or not? And I'm in the exact same place today as I've been my whole life. The question is, will I be a hero in the world or not? Because the promise is, if we are, God will be with us. Amen.